Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Baseball America College Podcast. I'm Teddy Cahill. We're here at the end of September. And it's never a bad time to talk Big Ten baseball. That's my feeling anyway. And so that's what we've got here on the podcast today. We're going to be talking some Big Ten baseball. We've got Michigan State coach Jake Boss coming on. His team this last weekend went out and one of the games that the NCAA is now allowing teams to play. They're allowed to play two fall ball games without it counting against their 56-game spring schedule. And Michigan State used one of their games this weekend to play Penn State down in Sandusky, Ohio, which is, I guess, a bit about equidistant, as Coach Boss says, from the two schools. And down there, Michigan State also was able to work with some special needs kids, play some games with them, some Miracle League type stuff. And then after that weekend, they went back to East Lansing and did some Miracle League stuff as well, working with again, special needs kids and, playing kind of a modified version of baseball with them. And, so that's something a lot of programs around the country do. And it's always fun to see photos or videos on social media of the kids interacting with them. And Coach Boss talks about how, I've already done the interview, full disclosure, he talked about how, how some of the Spartans in the past have even wound up changing their major following their games with the Miracle League kids because they just liked interacting with those kids that much that they wanted to, be able to have that experience more often or help them in a better, bigger way, I guess. So all of that stuff is very interesting, and I know a lot of coaches do a great job kind of exposing their kids to that and helping build the whole player, not just the baseball player. And then we also talked to Minnesota right-hander Patrick Fredrickson, who had an outstanding freshman year. He was a freshman All-American, went 7-0 for the Gophers, who, of course, won the Big Ten, hosted a regional, went to a super regional for the first time in program history, where they ultimately lost to the eventual national champion, Oregon State, out there in Corvallis. But, Patrick Fredrickson will tell us all about his freshman year and how you possibly try to improve on a 7-0 season, which is, again, he just had a fantastic debut season, and we'll see where he goes from there and where the Gophers go from there. It's a Big Ten heavy day here on the Baseball America College Podcast, and hopefully you enjoy what we have here today for you. So with that, let's just get to Michigan State coach Jake Boss. Well, welcome, Coach Boss, to the Baseball America Podcast. We're happy to have you here today to talk a little bit about Michigan State baseball and what you guys have been up to this fall.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate your time.
You guys have had already a bit of a busy fall. I know everyone starts fall ball at a different time, but up in Michigan, you guys have been rolling already. And you guys, over the weekend, were able to play an exhibition game against Penn State. down in Sandusky. And that was a pretty big weekend for you. You had an event with the Force All-Stars, which is a team of local special needs kids. And I mean, Jay, can you just kind of talk us through how that all came together for this weekend events in Sandusky?
Yeah, sure. First of all, we had a lot of fun out in Sandusky. I think it was a great weekend both for us and for Penn State. We have an alum whose name is Brian Storm, and he owns the Sports Force Park brand and has built two of them now, and is working on building several more across the country. But you know, it's an all-turf facility with multiple fields for multiple uses. Baseball, they have soccer, they have softball. They hosted the Junior College Regional last year. They will host a couple Division II and Division III regionals this year. And we were able to practice there a year ago, kind of take a weekend, almost like a retreat with our team, and go over there and practice for the weekend, courtesy of Brian, who's become a very, very good friend. And we got to talking over the summer, and when the new rules came out that gave us two free games in the fall, Brian said, well, you know, do you think you might be able to bring somebody over to play? And I got on the phone and looked at a map first, I guess, and saw that it was about halfway for both us and Penn State. Called Rob Cooper at Penn State. We don't play each other this year in the conference, and asked him if he'd be willing to come down. And he graciously said yes, and kind of explained to him what the weekend was all about. And so, we served a lot of different purposes, I think, for over the weekend. We got a chance to again kind of get away just as a team, all 35 guys, and be able to. You know, really use that opportunity to bond with our team and the first road trip of the year and that type of thing. We also, like you said, had a chance to play with the Force All-Stars, which was a group of special needs kids that we were fortunate to have out as guests and kind of get a chance to give back a little bit in that regard and utilize the opportunity to do some community service. And then, you know, obviously we practiced there on Saturday and played Penn State on Sunday. Again, great experience for our guys. We threw a lot of guys that did not throw in the first fall exhibition game that we played against the Lansing Lugnuts, the minor league affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. So a lot of guys got a chance to play. A lot of guys got a chance to pitch. We played a 9-inning game, and, I think we benefited from it, regardless what the score was. Got home and had a chance to play an America League game last night with the Mid-Michigan, which is the same type of group as the Force All-Stars, which is a group of about 30 to 35 special needs kids on an adaptive field, rubberized surface, and really the highlight of the year for us. I mean, it's I don't know who gets more out of that game. Those kids or our players, because it's just so fun to watch our guys develop relationships, not only with the kids, but with the families of these kids. And these relationships are ones that will certainly last beyond their 4 year or 5 years here at Michigan State. And it's just really neat to watch our guys kind of come out of their shell a little bit and understand their role in the community and the smiles on those kids' faces when they get a chance to throw and hit and run the bases is absolutely priceless and worth more than anything that we could ever give those guys. So it's been a fun 4 or 5 days around here.
Yeah, obviously Division I college baseball is a competitive environment, but you get into some of this stuff what do you think that everyone is able to get out of it from a team perspective, from a player perspective, from being in these kinds of situations where they are, doing, they're being role models. They're being able to do some service kind of things.
Well, yeah, that's just it. Teddy, we talk about that on a daily basis. I think the Jackie Robinson quote was, life is not worth living unless it benefits others, paraphrasing there, obviously. But, I think we impress upon our guys from day one, the opportunities that they have to positively impact people in our community. There's a responsibility that goes along with that. And regardless of wins or losses, regardless of, Whether we, got a base hit or struck out in that at bat, I think, the things that guys will remember when they take, when they look back 15, 20, 25 years from now, will be the experiences last night, the opportunity that they had to impact other people, the opportunities that they have to be with their teammates and to create that bond. There are a million cliches out there, but I think they're all true in that regard. And I think it's we've had guys that have changed their majors as a result of the America League game that we did last night. In the past, they've changed their majors from whatever it was to special education or adapted PE, or to get into education or working with kids. Just as a result of their experience and the opportunities that they saw to build into somebody else and kind of breathe into somebody else. And so, again, I think that's what it's all about. Winning games is awesome, and everybody loves to do that, but I think it goes far, far beyond any type of win or loss for us here at Michigan State.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I guess that's what college is all about, is just finding, the things that you're passionate about and being exposed to, different sorts of things and finding what you can do in the next steps of your life.
Well, that's just it. And most guys, when they come here at 18 years old, have no idea what they want to do for the rest of their lives other than play baseball. And, certainly I look back when I was a freshman in college and had no clue what I wanted to do. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Guys need to, we try to encourage them to find what they're passionate about and relentlessly pursue that. Again, the responsibility that I believe that we have to make a difference in other people's lives, and the responsibility that they have to understand that they have when they put that jersey on, goes far beyond, any type of competition or anything like that. And so, it certainly is a rewarding experience as a coach. It's one of my favorite days of the year because I just kind of get to sit back, lean against the fence, and watch my guys enjoy themselves with these kids. And it is really something that it's hard to put into words, to be quite honest with you, because they do such a good job and these kids have such a good time. It's hard to get them out of there after the game. And the bus ride home is something pretty cool for me because, I get to listen to these guys. I overhear them talking about the experience that they had with their, the young person that they were partnered up with that day. And, I know, some of these guys are big, tough, strong guys. But at the end of the day, I think it tugs at everybody's heartstrings a little bit, which is pretty neat to see.
For sure. Well, you guys, you mentioned playing Penn State, and, you guys have kind of played fall games the last few years. Obviously, those counted against the 56 games that you were allotted in the spring, and now they don't. But what do you find that you get out of playing games during the fall?
Well, there's a couple different things. I think it's important. We play the Lansing Lugnuts right away, the day after Labor Day. And so we don't have a whole lot of time to prepare for that. We start practice September 1st, and it seems like 3 days later we're playing against the pro guys. So that in and of itself, the experience of doing that, it's obviously a glimpse into pro ball for our guys, and I think it's something that again they never forget. We we throw the young guys in there right away and try to get them up to speed fast. This year it'll be a little bit different with the games kind of spread out a little bit more like in the past. We have played some games that we've tied into football games. We played Notre Dame before. Both here and on the road, we went to Indiana. We had BYU and Air Force come to us and kind of all tied those in with football games. But this year, again, a little bit differently, the way it was planned, and we threw a lot of returning guys against the pro team. We threw a lot of new guys against Penn State. And, there's it breaks up fall ball, obviously. Again, it's a chance for us to get out on the road and start to build that team camaraderie. It gives the new guys a chance to play against another Division I opponent, which obviously they haven't experienced before. And so, hopefully we get a lot of the jitters out of the way in the fall that will help us as we get ready for the spring. And then it's a good chance to evaluate ourselves against somebody else. And I think we learned a lot from what we did on Sunday and how we played on Sunday, and a lot of good things and maybe some bad things that we can correct and get better from. So a lot of positives all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just at this point in the fall, how much more time do you guys have with them, and what are you looking forward to doing with them over the last few weeks that you have of fall ball?
Yeah, we're about halfway through right now. We'll finish up, I think, on October 15th. That's the end of our 45-day window. And, you know, for us being in the north, we try to take advantage of every day and do some type of inter-squad every day. So we change our, you know, we map our pitching out so that we can play at least 3, 4, maybe 5 innings every single day. Because, again, in the north, we have all winter to do some of the team stuff inside. You know, the team defenses and the bunt defenses and all of that stuff. We feel like we have plenty of time. And so we save a lot of that stuff for indoors when the snow starts flying. But we got to take advantage of the weather now. And you know, you can't replicate a live game inside as well as possible, I guess, without just playing in the fall. And so, you know, we try to, you know, throw some things in offensively, throw a little bit of things in defensively, but the emphasis is on playing the game, the speed of the game for the new guys, the pace of the game, and getting back to that for the returning guys, and just going out and playing hard. And we feel like, you know, we can take care of a lot of the technical stuff in, you know, the remainder of October, November, December, and then into January before we start officially at the end of January with team practice again.
Last year, you guys finished up, I guess it was 22-30, not where you guys would have wanted to be, I'm sure. But as you look to build off of that, the Big Ten is pretty competitive. It often turns over a lot from year to year. I mean, just what are you looking for this year's team, you know, to be focused on as you get into 2019?
Well, you know, as disappointing as the year was, you know, last year for us, I think when we look back at the year in its totality, I think, you know, there were some positives that came out of that. I think that the number one thing, 1 and 1A maybe, was we had an unbelievable group of kids who did everything we asked them to do. They worked extremely hard on the field, off the field. It was a lot of fun to be around those guys. It was frustrating that we were only able to win as many games as we did just because of the fact that it was such a good group and you wanted to see those guys be successful on the field. And so it was frustrating for all of us. But, you know, the second thing I think we can take away from that group was we were extremely close. We lost a bunch of one-run and two-run games. You know, we were right in most of the games that we played. And it was, you know, you look back and it was a hit here or it was an error there. And we really tried to identify all the areas that really hurt us and those moments in those games that, you know, you can point to where, you know, somebody took advantage of maybe a mistake that we made or we weren't able to take advantage of a mistake that our opponent made. And so, you know, I think with a young group last year, a lot of guys back, a very good incoming class, freshman class, and first-year guys, you know, the emphasis has just been on cleaning up some of the little things and getting back to, you know, basics as far as how we take the field, how we take care of our locker room, you know, how we handle ourselves on campus, you know, which our guys have always done a really good job of, but it's just kind of reinforcing, again, those little things that could be the difference in a one- or a two-run ball game. And so I like this group as well. I think it's, you know, we got a long way to go, obviously, but I think we'll be ready to go once the middle of February comes around in 2019.
And you got Mike Mockma back, and obviously having a guy like that back on the mound is pretty significant. That's one thing that this program always seems to have is an exciting arm. Just when you watch Mike, what stands out for you about him?
Well, yeah, Mike had a good year for us last year. You know, went out to the Cape and you know, worked on some things. I think Mike got better. You know, the velocity continues to get better. You know, as a 6'7", 6'8" kid, he has a lot of down angle there, and you know, the breaking ball continues to get better. I think you know, he'll be a dynamic guy for us on the weekend, as will Mason Erla, who will you know, really, he went out to the Cape for about a week or two, and then we kind of shut him down. after that, but I think he's going to be an outstanding one as well. We have a junior college transfer named Indigo Diaz, who's a big arm. Reminds me a little bit of Dakota Mekas. That may not be fair to compare him to Dakota, but you know, his spin rate is outstanding, and he's a guy that just really is hard to pick the ball up, and ball seems to explode out of his hand. And so on the pitching side of it, you know, we feel really good. I was really pleased with how we pitched it a year ago as well, and I think we've shown a propensity to throw it real well, on the mound. I think that'll continue. Defensively, it was a little disappointing last year. We kicked it around a little bit too much, and, you know, we need to get better offensively, but, a bunch of young guys that I think are going to continue to improve.
On the podcast today, we also have we've got Patrick Fredrickson from Minnesota, and obviously what Minnesota did this year was so impressive, going to the Super Regional, and what Patrick did was pretty impressive too as a freshman. But when you look at what Minnesota did, you know, what does that say about the Big Ten and where it is when you have a team like Minnesota that, you know, can be a top 10 kind of team and really explode the way that they did this year?
Well, yeah, the league just continues to get better and better and better, you know, and that was, I've been in the league a while now. This is our 11th season here, but I spent 3 years as an assistant in the conference as well. And so I can tell you, you know, based on my experience, I think the league is in as good a place as it has been in a long, long time, maybe going back to the early 80s. I think evidenced by what Minnesota obviously did last year with a lot of young guys on the mound especially. But that's a John Anderson coach team. You know, you always want to play those guys early in the season. You feel like you got a better chance because they just seem to always get better and better and better as the season wears on. And, they don't beat themselves. They do the little things right. Maybe, I guess, similar to our football team or our basketball team, they don't always get necessarily the big 4- and 5-star recruits. But, John gets them ready to play, and those guys develop, as I think guys in our league do. You know, I think we do an outstanding job in our conference from top to bottom at developing players, at getting guys ready to play at a high level, both here and at the next level. And, you know, you go back to Indiana, getting to the College World Series, the job that Tracy did there, and then Chris took over and really did a great job there. I mean, again, you know, Mark Wasikowski at Purdue has a great year last year. Rick Heller at Iowa has really brought that program a long, long way. You go up and down the list. There are some really good coaches in this league that do an outstanding job of developing players. And, I think you see the benefit of hosting a regional. And I think, Illinois hosted a regional a few years ago, won it. Indiana hosted a regional, won it. Look at Minnesota hosting a regional, won it. So if at the end of the year, you know, I would take the teams in our conference over anybody, given the opportunities that we may have to host regionals and things like that. And it's no secret that if you want to get to Omaha, you got to host. And so we're starting to get more and more of those opportunities, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah, absolutely. Always an exciting time in the Big Ten, and we'll look forward to seeing what it has to offer and what Michigan State has to offer this spring. Thank you very much again, Coach Boss, for joining me here on the Baseball America podcast. It was a good time talking about Spartan baseball and everything you guys have been up to this fall.
Well, my pleasure, Teddy. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Michigan State Coach Jake Boss again, and thank you again, Coach Boss, for coming on and talking all about fall ball, what you guys have been up to. As you heard, the Spartans have had quite a busy fall already. They're only halfway through, and I know some teams, the Southern teams, are really only just getting started. But when you are in Michigan, it gets cold soon, so you gotta get it going a little sooner. And like he said, they have plenty of things they can do during the winter. It's all about how you put the puzzle together of the off season. Never an easy task, no matter where you are. I've been impressed by what college, like I mentioned before the interview, I've just been impressed by the way college baseball teams interact with the Miracle League group. It's such a fun thing to see the players do that, and it really is meaningful, as Coach Boss mentioned, about just how much his players get out of it. So again, that's great to see, and for all the teams that do that around the country. So moving gears now, we're going to get into it with Minnesota right-hander Patrick Fredrickson. Again, he was a freshman All-American this last spring. Fantastic season with the Gophers. And now we'll see what the Gophers and what Patrick have for 2019. Should still be a pretty good group up there, especially when you have him back. You have fellow freshman All-American Max Meyer back. He was outstanding as a closer for Team USA this summer. You know, so the Gophers have some changes on the offensive side, but this year they have a lot of pitching back, and really that starts with those two guys, among others. But when you have two freshman arms, with the kind of year that those two had coming back, that you know you would figure it portends good things for this spring. So Patrick's going to talk to us a little bit about what happened last year, what allowed him to have that kind of quick success in college baseball, and spinning forward now, how he wants to look at his sophomore year and beyond, and how he can improve going forward with the Minnesota program. So here we have Patrick Fredrickson, Minnesota sophomore right-hander. Well, welcome to the Baseball America College Podcast, Patrick. We're happy to have you on here as you get fall ball ready to go. So thank you for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, looking forward to it.
You obviously coming off a really strong freshman year, freshman All-American. Minnesota goes all the way to Super Regional last year, wins the Big Ten, and just a fantastic year. And you were a huge part of that. Just how did the transition to college, how did you go about making that so that you were able to be ready to have that kind of success so quickly in your college career?
Well, honestly, there wasn't much of a transition from high school to college. Obviously, I didn't really try and change too many things. You know, in high school, it's sort of the same philosophy I had in high school. I mean, you're trying to help your team win. You're trying to pitch as best you can. And honestly, you know, there's no real major transition. What I tried to tell myself is that it's the game. It hasn't changed at all. It's still the same game. And, it's better competition, but, you know, you can still, you know, just go out there and have a lot of confidence and, just try and compete the best you can for your team. I mean, I wasn't really expecting to have sort of the year and the numbers I did last year. But, you know, it just happened, I guess. And, you know, as a team, we're looking forward to picking off right where we left off. Going into this fall, you know, it's exciting to see all like new faces and talent, and yeah, I'm already really excited for the season to start. So,
yeah, I mean, you the way you came in to the rotation, the whole pitching staff in general was kind of in a newer spot last year. Do you feel like, with so many different guys stepping into roles, even the upperclassmen that were back, do you feel like that helped you guys kind of learn together to mesh together as your own kind of group?
Yeah. Our coach, he talks about having a sort of a tribe mentality. Like, we're all here for each other and we all want each other to succeed and help our team the best we can. And so last year, we had lost a few arms and no one really knew what the rules were going to be. That's sort of the thing this year as well. I mean, not to give it, everyone's, you know, trying to sort of make an impression, not only for themselves, but for the coaching staff and the team. And the coaches, they're going to, like, no matter what good or bad you did last year, they're gonna see, you know, if you can pitch, if you can compete and give it your all, like, you're gonna play. And it really, like I said, it doesn't matter how good or bad you did last year. That's sort of what they're looking for. And so that's why everyone's all really excited to begin this this fall and carry it over into the season. I know last year there were some guys who might not have had the best fall pitching-wise, but they managed to sort of find themselves a lot of playing time just because, you know, they stuck with it and developed throughout the fall and winter and were ready to go during the spring. So it's anything can really happen, and you know, everyone's looking forward to it. Obviously, we have a lot of guys, a lot of pitchers on the staff returning. We lost a few, but it looks good from a pitching perspective this upcoming season. And myself and my teammates couldn't be more excited for it. So, yeah, we're just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you went 9-0 last year, 186 ERA. Like I mentioned, you guys made it to a Super Regional, the first Super Regional in program history, won the Big Ten tournament. Have you had time to reflect on any of that, or, you know, what kind of memories are you going to take from that season?
I'd say the best memories I'm going to get from the season are sort of the things that aren't related to baseball. During the season last year, I found myself enjoying just the little things, you know, like whether it was like fishing on the road or just hanging out with some of your buddies. I found that a lot of fun, as well as, you know, going out there and pitching. But I mean, as far as the season itself, I found, you know, going back to the Pacific Northwest and pitching in front of a, you know, a really good program and a rich history of, you know, winning in Oregon State. I found that was just a lot of fun, even though we lost. Like I'd say that was probably the most fun I had last year. I had family and friends there supporting me, and so. After the games, I sort of got to connect with them, and that's what I really enjoyed the most. I'd say it was more outside the lines than inside, but overall, like putting it together, it was just an awesome year. So I'm, you know, looking forward to having those same kind of memories this year as I did last year.
You mentioned there going back to pitching in the Pacific Northwest against Oregon State in that Super. You know, you're a native of Washington. Can you just you kind of explain how you went from there to Minnesota? What led you to choose the Gophers?
Well, you know, I reached out and expressed interest in the school and was lucky enough to have Coach Rob Fornasier come out and watch me pitch, and I was just, you know, the way he went about things, I was just really bought into it, I should say. And so I you know, him and the rest of the coaching staff sort of, and along with that, just the program itself, the people on the team, it was hard to say no to, as well as academics. I mean, it was probably, looking back on it, it's definitely safe to say it was my best option coming here. And it's only getting better. I'm only having more fun as I go along. But as far as the recruiting process the school had, and they still currently use, I mean, it's just very, very respectable, and they make you want to decide if you want to come here. Not, they don't put pressure on you to come here, which really sort of opened my eye to the University of Minnesota, and overall probably one of the bigger reasons I chose school here. So I really enjoy the way things are run around here and the professionalism that our coaches expect from us and sort of teach us. It's just a top class school and athletic program. So I'm pretty happy I chose to go to school here.
Outstanding. You mentioned how excited you and your teammates are for the start of this next season and fall ball. And so what did you do to get ready for that over the summer? And what are you looking forward to working on this fall?
That's a good question. Over the summer, I actually didn't play anywhere. Myself or my coaches and I decided that I would benefit more from resting over the summer. But this summer I did a lot of strength. I had a strength program that was sent to me as well as the other pitchers. And I completed that. It was really fun. Some interesting exercises, that I feel like, now that I'm throwing again, have sort of fine-tuned and helped some of my mechanics. Other than working out and throwing the last month of summer, I just sort of just took some time and relaxed and worked a little bit. It went by really fast, and here I am. Ready for this fall. As far as what I want to work on this fall, obviously I want to try and keep the same attitude I did as last year, and just fine tune some mechanical stuff. Just keep throwing all my pitches and, not backing down from anyone at any time, just going out there and competing. That's all I can really try and do.
You went 9-0 last year. The team wins the conference title. I mean, all of that is in your freshman year. What do you do now to follow that up as a sophomore? Where are your goals for this next year?
Well, my goals this upcoming year are, it's completely unrelated to any numbers or anything. I was told a couple times over the summer that I'm probably not going to have the same numbers and statistics I did my freshman year. And I honestly could care less about those numbers. As long as I improve and help my team out in winning, that's all that matters. I wouldn't say I really have any goals as far as, how many strikeouts I want or how many innings I want to pitch. I want to focus on just going out there and helping our team try and make the College World Series.
Certainly understandable. Well, Patrick, I'll get you out of here on this last question. Max Meyer, your classmate, had a sensational season of his own. How much fun is it watching him pitch at the end of games, knowing that that with him in there, you guys have a lead and he has a pretty good chance at sealing up that victory for you.
Yeah, no, Max, he's really fun to watch. He's lights out, and he also has a really bright upside. He's a good guy and really good teammate. And, watching him pitch out there, it's always a good feeling. It's always sort of reassuring to see him out there. I mean, what he had, I don't think he had tied the save record last season. I mean, as a freshman, that's pretty unbelievable. So, and he also, he's improved a lot. He looks a lot stronger, and he's actually starting to take more at bats and work on becoming more of a two-way player. And our coaching staff is sort of supporting that as well. So yeah, it's always fun watching him pitch, and I know he'll have the same success, if not better, this year than he did this past year.
Well, Patrick, thank you very much for joining us here on the Baseball America College podcast. We'll be excited to watch you guys at Minnesota again this spring, see what this season has in store for the Gophers.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot for the interview.
Thank you again, Patrick, for joining the Baseball America College podcast. Great stuff there about the Gophers. And, I just find it interesting when a kid, from a place like the Pacific Northwest goes all the way out to Minnesota, just how that works. You know, recruiting is something that's very much on my mind right now, having just finished up our recruiting rankings and everything that goes along with that. So, I mean, to see how the pieces of that all fit together and a kid from Washington comes out to pitch for Minnesota, is an interesting story, and obviously a one that Minnesota is very happy to have had happen for them, because he, again, was sensational as a freshman, and I'm sure over the next couple of years he's going to be a mainstay of that pitching staff again, and just a great find by that coaching staff and a great job by Patrick to put himself in a position to succeed. So I mentioned that we have the recruiting rankings out. Those, you can find those over at baseballamerica.com. And we go far, the top 25 is out. I mentioned that on last week's show. And obviously, we go much beyond the top 25, though. We have the top 25 full in-depth breakdowns of those classes. You can also find the next 10, the 10 schools that kind of just missed the cut with breakdowns of their classes. And then this week we also have about a dozen under the radar classes. These are classes from maybe smaller programs or smaller conferences, but they're still very notable. They're classes that are above average for the program, for the conference, for the region that they're in, and there are some fantastic players to be found at those schools. And you never know who's going to pop. But it's always very exciting to hear about these freshmen, these junior college transfers coming in that are going to impact these teams and college baseball as a whole for the next few years. So I always love putting that together, and I hope that you guys enjoy checking that out over at baseballamerica.com. So that's kind of what we have going here at BA on the college side right now. As I've mentioned before, we're going to keep the podcast rolling this fall. Hopefully we have some more exciting interview guests. We had David Pierce last week. This week, of course, the Big Ten focus with Jake Boss of Michigan State and Patrick Fredrickson over at Minnesota. We'll have some more good stuff throughout the fall. So remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Rate us, review us. All of that stuff helps in terms of helping people discover the podcast. Those algorithms love it when people interact. So let us know how we're doing. Let us know who you would like to hear on the podcast. Leave us a review there, or feel free to drop me a line on Twitter. I'm at Ted Cahill. So yeah, just let us know who you'd like to hear from, because I have ideas, but you guys have ideas too, and I would love to hear what you're thinking, who you are looking to hear from as we get into the fall here. We'll get more players, more coaches, some alumni on as well to talk college baseball as we go through the fall here. So remember to check out baseballamerica.com. In addition to all of the college content over there, it's we're into what we call prospect season. The top 20 prospects in each minor league, we're unveiling those. We've got we're into the AA leagues already, and we're working our way down to the lower ends. So plenty of good stuff there, and before you know it, we'll be ranking the top 10 prospects for all 30 big league teams, and that goes into our prospect handbook, which you can pre-order on baseballamerica.com right now. I believe that's baseballamerica.com/store, and you can pre-order that or any of our other 2019 books there, the Almanac, the directory, all of your favorite Baseball America publications can be found there and pre-ordered. So check that out. Check out the recruiting rankings. I put in a lot of work on that, so make sure you read that and let me know who you would love to hear from on the Baseball America College podcast going forward. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to Jake Boss and Patrick Fredrickson for hopping on with me. I've been Teddy Cahill, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.